Welcome to the Ned Group Investments quarterly briefing, where we profile some of the interesting takeouts from our recent fund manager workshop with our local best of breed managers. To hear the full fund manager presentations or for more information about our funds, visit the Ned Group Investments website or access more of our content via LinkedIn, YouTube, or our podcast channel. In this episode, our managers look back on the third quarter of 2024 and discuss the local and global interest rate environment and inflation expectations worldwide. Our managers look at SA and US equity valuations and discuss their strategic investment decisions between different sectors and companies. We end off by looking at the current state of the Chinese economy amidst poor consumer sentiment. Philip Liebenberg, who co-manages the Ned Group Investments Flexible Income Fund, discusses fixed income markets both domestically and internationally, specifically the significant rally in SA bond yields post-election, the anticipated rate cuts, and the stabilization of inflation expectations.
We move on to our local assets and an absolute fantastic quarter. I mean, admittedly, SA bonds and fixed income and generally SA assets were on the cheaper side with the elections and the, you know, the government of national unity. That was a catalyst for a big rally in SA assets. You can see there our bond yields rallied about, you know, 1.5% in yield terms from what we saw kind of in May this year. Bonds, as you can see there, all across the curve did exceptionally well. Now, if you take that further and you back calculate the implied country risk premium, you know, we had a fair value of around 4%. It went as high as, you know, 4.5% pre-election. And then we had a massive rally. You know, like I said, a catalyst was kind of more stability, hope for local fiscal consolidation, you know, kind of curbing the debt load of SOEs, better governance, et cetera, et cetera. On the back of, you know, the China stimulus and the Fed cutting, we saw our local bonds or the country risk premium actually coming down to below 3.5% and nearly touching 3%. We believe that given the positive news we had out of the election, that fair value should be now closer to 3.5%, which also means our bond market probably actually did a little bit better than expected. If we move then to being our rate cutting cycle, we had a 25 basis point cut in September as expected. We see another probably about 1%. The market is looking at maybe another 1.25% as a minimum. So again, I think the market has gotten a little bit ahead of itself. So we see rates probably stabilizing closer to the 7%. But like our governor said, you know, we're not out of the woods yet. We're a small open economy, so you know, any inflation shocks could be an issue. But the last thing I think we see at this point in time and the market is inflation running away. If you look at the predictions, even the SARB has cut back their 2025 inflation expectations from about 4.6% to closer to 4%. And we have seen they're making a lot of noises to make sure we're actually getting our inflation target. You know, they're hell-bent on actually see if they can lower that closer to 4.5% and even probably below 4%. So we'll see how that all pans out. But inflation is not an issue at this point in time. Base effects will take inflation, you know, in the low single digits of about 3% and then going back up to about 4%. But we don't have an inflation problem at this point in time. I think the other thing which is coupled to, you know, SA Inc. and the good news would be the Rand. The Rand has been traditionally a bit weaker. Obviously, that's on the back of, you know, I think higher local debt levels, poor service delivery, poor growth prospects, etc. Some of that obviously reversed with the election outcome and with flows. And we actually see the Rand now gone back to what we perceive as a little bit closer to fair value. We do think flows and positive news and momentum could take the Rand a little bit stronger. But around about 17 Rand 50, we're probably closer to fair value.
Omri Thomas, who co-manages the Ned Group Investments Opportunity Fund, provides an overview of current market conditions and asset class performance, focusing on SA and US equity valuations.
But if you look at the markets at the moment, we've had a tremendous run in markets. And the markets are way above their long-term averages. Whether you look at equities, property, bonds, the only asset class that's below its 5-year and 10-year average is global bonds. And that's because it's come from such a low yield level and it's just normalized. So at current levels, probably a better starting level but other asset classes have really had a phenomenal run. And we'll sort of unpack that and see what the current opportunities are within there. So if we look at South Africa, we see the SA risk premium have gone from over 5% down to 3.5%, which is back to the levels that it was pre-COVID. So a lot of positive sentiment towards South Africa, and rightly so. We are starting to see positive developments where one looks at load shedding, which hasn't happened for a long time. And if you look at some of the government portfolios that at long last starting to deliver on some of the mandates. So positive momentum, positive sentiment from foreign investors, and it looks like our SA GDP growth also starting to look better and some improvements there. But I mean, if you look at the SA equity market with this rally relative to what we see is an implied fair value PE, now more than one standard deviation overvalued. But one, as you know, our market is sort of almost the tale of two cities with commodities. When they look expensive, they actually, that's the time when you want to buy it. And our domestic shares having come from a very low valuation level, and despite the run, still offering decent value. So despite the index at an overall level looking expensive, we are still managing to find decent value, but we have taken the opportunity to enter this run, reduce our equity exposure slightly. If we look at bonds, you can just see how the whole yield curve has shifted down. So whether you were in the 2030s or the 2040s, long duration bonds, we've seen a significant rally in bonds. More recently, we've seen a bit of a sell-off, and we used that strength 2 weeks ago, significantly reduce our bond holding. We shifted some of that into inflation linkers, and we also reduced the overall duration of our bond portfolio. If we look at the US market, we've seen a tremendous run in the US equity market. I think over the last year, US equities in dollars up close to 30%. So a phenomenal performance. And that's on the back of a good period the prior 12 months. And you've seen US treasury yields normalizing. So at current level, not much to choose between the two. So there's no little equity risk premium priced into equity. So we actually think the US equity market looking expensive. And the last time we were at these levels was sort of almost at the dot-com bust time. So we just say, be cautious, don't get sucked in right at the top of the market.
Mike Lawrenson, co-portfolio manager of the Ned Group Investments SA Equity Fund, discusses the strategic investment choices in the fund amidst the current South African economic landscape.
In terms of global consumer exposure, we've taken it via Naspers and Process. We believe that with the new CEO in place, there are further opportunities to narrow the discount. There may be one or two IPOs of the underlying unlisted investments in the medium term. And then on Tencent itself, we remain positive on the outlook for earnings growth, largely driven by margin expansion, and obviously the share buyback continues. AB InBev is a new addition to our top 10 holdings. The beer sector has underperformed recently. We are, however, of the view that AB InBev is likely to beat the peers. We anticipate to see margin recovery, largely on the back of COGS deflation, and further de-gearing of the balance sheet will drive mid-teens earnings growth. British American Tobacco is a stock that we own. We did sell during the quarter. We still like it, and the valuation is underpinned by 9% dividend yield. Bidcorp is a food services business with diverse exposure to Australia, New Zealand, the UK and Europe. It's got strong cash flows, strong balance sheet, and we like the earnings outlook for that business. In terms of our South African exposure, we've taken it via SA Financials. We like the valuations. We like the dividend yields. We think that the declining interest rate environment that we're expecting should be positive for banks. And there, our big holdings are Absa and First Rand. And then we've taken selective exposure in the insurers via Sanlam and Momentum. Some other South African stocks that we own, we've obviously owned Fashini and Motors for a while, but we've recently added in the last quarter to both Woolworths, Bidvest and Remgro. We think all of these stocks should benefit from any uptick in the SA macro environment. And then finally, looking at our resource exposure, we remain overweight Anglo-American. We believe that its exposure to the three of the top 10 copper mines in the world, it's a commodity. We think that over the medium term, the supply growth is likely to be constrained, while demand is likely to surprise on the upside over that same period. We also own AngloGold, which in our view is the most attractive in terms of valuation, expectations around production growth and unit cost growth going forward.
Saul Miller, co-portfolio manager of the Ned Group Investments Balanced Fund, discusses the challenges and outlook for China's economy. Saul looks at key issues affecting poor consumer confidence and the market's reaction to the recent stimulus package.
Moving on to China, the big issue with China has really been an issue around consumer confidence and how can you get consumer confidence to recover. Now, there are a number of potential reasons for why consumer confidence in China is depressed. First of all, we've obviously got economic growth that has been slowing in China. Secondly, there's been quite a lot of draconian regulation in China, which has obviously impacted corporates negatively. There are geopolitical risks and tariffs, which also affects corporates. This obviously makes consumers worry. And the other thing that would obviously worry consumers would be rising unemployment rates. It is particularly elevated in terms of the youth, where it's been rising quite aggressively. Another major factor that weighs on consumer confidence has been property prices. So you've got property prices that are coming down in China, and in addition to that, they are also at very elevated levels. In other words, the price of property is still very expensive in China. If you look at some of the major cities, you're probably looking at rental yields of less than 2%. So it's not just expensive in absolute terms, it's actually quite expensive if we compare it to other major cities in the world. That will obviously weigh quite substantially on consumer confidence. So what we've had and what we've been seeing for the last few years, obviously, continuous rounds of stimulus. Recently, we had a more significant stimulus package being proposed. The question is it enough? We think it's probably not sufficient at this stage. Really, the key part of it has been around bank lending, making it easier for banks to lend, cutting rates so it's a bit cheaper for consumers to refinance. The problem is if you are worried about the economy and you think property prices are expensive, cutting rates is not going to get you back into the property market. So we don't think this is necessarily going to be enough. There have been some other measures where they have tried to have government transfers to some of the parts of society, the poorer parts of society that have really been struggling, but we haven't seen anything substantial. You might get something. Maybe we get something in terms of healthcare or in terms of pensions. But even if we did get a significant stimulus there, it still isn't clear that consumers would want to start spending again. They might just still continue to save as they have been doing. So we think markets have overreacted to this stimulus package that was recently announced. I just have two further slides on China that I just want to touch on. I spoke about property and the fact that property prices are quite elevated. Over here, we overlay the property cycle of China against many other countries that have had property cycles over time. And what you'll see is China, as represented by the red line, is actually quite early into its property down cycle. We've only about 2 years into it. So it really talks to the risk of this taking quite a bit longer to play out. Over here, what you can see are building starts in China. And what you can see here is that they have absolutely collapsed. Now, what goes into GDP on building starts, it's obviously what's in the pipeline in terms of construction. What this means is that at some stage, unless property starts pick up, at some stage, what's in the pipeline is going to roll off and you could have a negative hit to your Chinese GDP. Over here, you can see the Chinese market is represented by the MSCI, their various indices. You'll see a similar story, which is really one where we had a substantial recovery in the market post that stimulus announcement, and we kind of went to fair value. So we actually used this as an opportunity to reduce some of our China exposure, which would really be via the likes of a Naspers and a Prosus. You also saw a run in some of the commodity prices, which we also felt was a little bit unjustified, given that the stimulus package wasn't really so much around fixed investment, and that those rises or increases in property prices were very positive for some of the diversified miners. So they rallied quite strongly and we reduced our exposure a bit there as a result.
Thank you for listening to the Ned Group Investments quarterly briefing. You can access more information about all the fund manager workshops at the Ned Group Investments website, YouTube, or through our podcast channels on all major platforms. Please join us for our next edition at the end of January 2025.